Raising women's voices, one story at a time. Welcome to the She Said Project Podcast. Welcome back to another season of the She Said Project Podcast. I am so excited to be back in the studio. This is, of course, Jeanette Jerzyk, National Director of all things She Said.
And this is Carrie Rosso, co-founder, and super excited to be back. Yay!
You know, not only are we in season 8 of the podcast, but we are right in the heart of our 10-year anniversary celebration. All year long, 2023, we've been celebrating 10 years of That's What She Said. Does it feel like 10 years, Carrie?
Some days, it's just like everything. You know, the older we get, you stand around like scratching, you know, your head or
scratching,
worse.
Or scratching
something and saying like, boy, that seems like yesterday. And then the very next time you think of it, you think, gosh, that seems like a whole other life ago. And that's how it feels with She Said. Some days I think, gosh, that was just a blink. And then other days it feels like it was a fever dream.
Well, it was a whole lifetime ago. She Said has a life of its own now. We are in so many cities. We are growing. We are getting to meet women, amazing, interesting, powerful women in so many new communities. And our guest today is very much one of those who we had the absolute pleasure of seeing perform on stage in St. Louis, Missouri in their show this past year. So welcome to the She Said Project Podcast, our new best friend, Debbie Jarre.
Hi, thank you for having me on.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi.
So before we started taping, she said, nice to meet you. And because I had just been in the audience, but Debbie, you have that thing about you. I was in the audience and saw your piece and that doesn't sound quite right, but whatever. I saw your piece from afar, but I just felt like you were my best friend. Like you were my Nana or we were fellow Nanas or you just had this magic quality to reach out and connect to people.
Just wanted to grab a stroller and walk through the park with you.
Yes.
Love that. Great.
How did you come up with the storyline behind Conversations with Nana?
Well, it started kind of in January of 2020. That was BC before COVID. Uh-huh. And I was wandering around Target, as one did in those days. And I happened to see this journal. And I have not kept a journal since I was a little kid. And I had no reason to believe that there was anything coming that would warrant having a journal. But I bought it. And the first thing that I wrote in it was, I have no idea why I bought this journal. I don't have anything to say. There's nothing special to write. Nothing is happening. And then COVID hit. And that journal was my best friend. And it just happened that I had the journal with me one day when I was walking in Forest Park. And that was the only place I could go during COVID where I felt like I was safe. So I sat down on a bench. And it had the little plaque on it about Conversations with Nana. And that's kind of how it started. It was just a journal entry that just wouldn't stop. I just started writing and couldn't stop doing it.
Wow. That is okay. So now I feel like we're keeping a secret. Maybe we should play it for everyone to hear so they can catch up.
Yeah. Can we do that? Debbie, we're going to share the recording of your performance.
Sure.
And then we're going to have some conversations with Nana. So for our friends who are listening, that is the title of Debbie's story from That's What She Said on stage in St. Louis 2023. Please take a listen and enjoy Debbie Jarre, Conversations with Nana.
I am so glad that we have parks. For the past 3.5 years, Forest Park here in St. Louis has been my COVID safe space. My cell phone is full of pictures I've taken on all my COVID walks, pictures of egrets and mist rising over the water and leaves changing colors and park benches. As I've gotten older, I have really come to appreciate a good park bench. I love the curve that can support a sore back. I love it when they don't have that center bar so I can stretch out, maybe even doze. And I've especially become intrigued by the little plaques that people put on honoring loved ones who have passed. So one day I was walking in Forest Park and I saw a bench with a plaque on it, so I went over to it. Only this plaque didn't have the usual list of roles. Beloved wife, mother, friend. No, this plaque had an assignment. It said, for conversations with Nana. I had a Nana once, and now I am one. This bench was the perfect chance for me to communicate with my Nana, long gone, and to consider my role as Nana to three beautiful grandchildren. Plus, I'm all about assignments. I'm a teacher. So I sat down. At first, it came easy, just some little tidbits. Hey, Nana, remember when I was a little kid, that one time I slept over at your house? And just before I fell asleep, you said to me, sleep tight. Don't let the bed bugs bite. Nana, no wonder I only slept at your house one time. Oh, and I have to apologize, Nana. That time that I wouldn't even try those cheesy potatoes that you made. Well, to be fair, I know now that you said they were au gratin, but at the time I heard fog rotten. I'm sure they were delicious. And Nana, you would not believe, they can take telephones now, and they've shrunk them down so small that you can put them in your pocket. Not only that, but they give directions. You would never have to be lost again. It is amazing. Well, anyway, after those little tidbits, I started to connect the dots between generations in a way I never had before. 100 years before the COVID pandemic, there was another pandemic of influenza that killed 50 million people. And one of the people who died was a 32-year-old mother of 7 children. One of those children was 18-month-old Genevieve, who would one day grow up to become my Nana. Well, Genevieve's father couldn't take care of 7 children by himself, so he gave Genevieve to his sister-in-law to raise. Now, at that time, nobody talked about adoption, so Genevieve was just quietly brought to another household in another state, given a new last name, taught to call a different couple mom and dad, and introduced to her biological cousins as siblings. Nana, I never thought to ask you this when you were alive, but what was it like to find out as an adult that you were not who you thought you were? I can't imagine. 100 years later, my daughter and her partner adopted a little boy. Only this adoption is not just acknowledged, but celebrated. Unlike my Nana, my grandson will always know his origin story. Nana, there was another conversation that we had, one that you won't remember, but it was right after you were diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. You were so aware that you were losing your memory, and you were so powerless to stop it. That little girl whose identity had been torn apart and stitched together was now going to lose that memory completely. Nana, you did. You lost just about everything. But there was one thing you didn't lose. I gotta tell you that. I went to visit you in the nursing home shortly before you passed, and you didn't know who I was. But you offered to sing for me. And Nana, you remembered every word of all the old songs. I can remember you singing with such gusto. Oh, it ain't gonna rain no more, no more. It ain't gonna rain no more. How in heck can I wash my neck if it ain't gonna rain no more? It's wonderful. I grew up around the corner from Nana's house. So you might think we spent a lot of time together. And you'd be wrong. As I sat on that bench, I was all of a sudden just overwhelmed with rage. Nana, where were you when I needed you? Did you know my mom was on drugs? Where were you all those times when I had to take care of my younger siblings because Mom had passed out again? The little girl inside was just screaming silently for answers she'll never have. On the other hand, I never walked around the corner to Nana's house to tell her what was going on, to beg for help. Sitting on that bench, I wondered how my life might have been different if I had. Well, somehow I grew up and I had three beautiful, wonderful children. And I found out the hard way that even the most vigilant and loving caregiver sometimes screws up. I did. And sometimes misses important clues. I did. And lives with the unrelenting regret of not having kept her children safe. I did. On second thought, Nana, maybe I need to cut you some slack. I bet you did the best you could. I'm struggling to cut my own self some slack. Anyway, somehow my children grew up. And they started having children of their own. And they asked me what the grandmother name should be. Well, in honor of my Nana, I decided to become Nana. Well, it wasn't just that. You know that dog in Peter Pan, that big sheepdog thing that tried so hard to keep the darling children safe? Yeah, that had a lot to do with it too. But anyway, this Nana gig rocks. There is nothing like setting up a picnic at the Metrolink station. Did you think I was going to say park? Yeah, no, you have to watch the trains go by. You have to watch those ding, 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 those railroad crossings go down. There's nothing like it. Except maybe going to the community college every Saturday to ride every single elevator to every single floor. Oh, that's about as much fun as a person can have. Anyway, I love being a Nana. I want to be that safe space for my grandchildren. I want my lap to be their park bench. I want to be the Nana I needed as a child. Maybe someday a park bench will be dedicated to my memory. It better not have that center bar. It better have that curve to support a back. But this is the assignment I'm working on. And maybe one for you. What should the plaque say?
Now, that was an intriguing journal entry.
Famous last words. Absolutely. I have nothing to say.
Right.
Exactly. Yes. A little bit I know.
Oh, my gosh. That was just amazing. Okay, so let me just jump right to it. What was the reaction that you got after the show?
I loved walking afterward, you know, to the little dessert party thing that you have. We had a donut wall, by the way. Thank you, Jenny Pratt. It was amazing.
I remember.
But as I walked down the hall, I can't tell you how many people stopped and told me about parts of it that they related to. And there were some people who said, I'm a Nana. I love that. And other people who were certainly not Nanas said things like, oh, I love the park too. Or, oh, I know what you mean about the benches. You know, it was like everybody kind of caught on to some little aspect of the story because it was just such an everyday person's story, I guess. So it was kind of cool to see how many people were able to latch onto just a little piece of it.
Yep, there was a nugget for everyone.
And that takes talent. You are a very gifted storyteller to put all those pieces together and frame it the way that you did. And we got to know you very quickly. We got insight into your childhood and growing up. When you reflected on your relationship with your own Nana, did that come out of the journaling experience during COVID? Is that something you explored?
Not until I sat on that bench. That was just...
So that plaque triggered everything.
Yes, it really did. And I had no idea that I was angry. That was a really, must have been buried very, very deep, because I never, if you had said, what was your Nana like? I would have said, oh, she was wonderful. She was sweet. She was kind. It never would have occurred to me that there was a part of me that was angry that she didn't step in when I felt that I could have used her help. But that didn't come about until I was sitting on that bench and writing in that journal.
Like, hey, I got some questions.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know it, but I do. So how has it impacted you going through that process?
I think it's given me a lot more understanding, both of her life and of my relationship to my grandchildren. Now I kind of feel like, oh, that's why it's so incredibly important to me that I have this relationship with them. And of course, I would have wanted a relationship with them anyway. But I think there's maybe even an extra layer to it because of my relationship with her. And then it's also just given me this storytelling bug. Gosh, that was fun. So,
right?
So I've been journaling more, and some of them are turning into stories, and that's been really, really interesting to know that that's part of me somewhere.
I don't know. I have a vision of a coffee table book, Conversations with Nana. You know, there's there's so much more to explore, and
sure.
Like you said, you inspired others to think about, you know, mm-hmm. those nuggets that they got to enjoy with their own nanas once upon a time. It is. Mm-hmm. It is a story full of those once upon a time moments, those memories, but it comes down to reflection. Like, you took that time to reflect on your mm-hmm. relationship and how it impacted you and where you are today with your own grandkids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe it was just sitting there waiting. You know, that beforehand, you needed it to be something else. And then when you were ready on that bench, it just was like, OK,
right.
Now's the time.
Exactly.
So mm-hmm. let's answer that question. What should the plaque say?
Boy, I think about that all the time and I still don't know. So I guess I can't die yet.
You're stuck here.
I am stuck here until I figure this out.
You have a renewed purpose.
The person who dies who makes up what the plaque's going to say anyway. So I guess it would have to be whatever my loved ones. But I think they got the hint now that I really want a bench.
Well,
so if they don't get that, would you let them know?
Yep, I'm on it.
Absolutely. We'll send this recording over. We'll make sure they hear it.
It's a subtle hint.
Thank you. Well, yeah. So I guess, you know, it's kind of up to them unless I put it in my will or something. But I really don't know yet.
What would the plaque say? But that's, I mean, that is such a great conversation question. Like, what would your plaque say, Carrie Rosso?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
On your,
oh, gosh, I don't know.
Memorial bench.
It goes back to legacy, right? Like, at the end of the day, we all want to know, like, what we did mattered. We were, you know, you want something that says Rosso was here, you know, whatever. Just, hey, hey, girl, hey, that's it. You know?
I don't even know if this will make it onto the podcast, but when I think of a bench for Carrie Rosso's memory, the bench would reach out and give you butt slaps.
Yes,
that's what it would do. Butt slaps
and
from Carrie.
And the least kinky, like the visual of that was like, well, that took a kinky turn, but like in like the after a game butt slaps kind of way. Yeah.
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's nice. I love that. Butt slaps had here.
Yeah.
Have a seat, have a slap.
Yeah.
I don't know. That is such a fun question. I'm going to carry that with me. I'm going to take that with me into some good party conversations. Be like, what?
There you go.
Yes. But like, how do you think of your legacy in short enough, you know, phrase that can fit on a plaque?
Right. That it fits on a little plaque and it's not going to make somebody go broke trying to write it all out. Yeah.
How did you enjoy the rest of the experience, like getting to know the women in your cast and enjoying their stories? Did you guys like build some friendships or find some mutual bonds?
Oh, definitely. I think it was a little bit intimidating. There were a number of best-selling authors speaking and things like that where I just thought, oh my gosh, there's no way. You know, so that was really amazing to me, the people who were speaking and the things that they've accomplished in their life was just unreal. But they were all very down to earth, very interesting people. And actually, a couple of them came to my concert that happened after that. And so that was really fun. So, yeah, we've definitely kept in touch. A couple of them have gotten married and we're Facebook friends now. So I got to see how beautiful they looked and all of that. So it was neat.
OK, wait, back that truck up.
What
concert?
Oh, I sing with an LGBT chorus called Charis, Charis, in St. Louis.
You do it all.
Yeah. Oh, well, no, it's purely for fun, but I absolutely love it. We have an upcoming concert on banned books, where all of the songs are based on books that have been banned. So yeah, it's a wonderful group of people.
That
so,
is
yeah.
fabulous.
Carrie, I'm picking you up. We're heading to St. Louis.
I know. Get in the cab. We're
right.
going.
There you go.
Oh, that's so great.
How did you get scooped into all of this? Did you know Jenny Miller Pratt, the St. Louis
I
producer?
I did not. I did sort of know Dr. Lauren Miller, who spoke at the first one, and she has a podcast. That people should all watch it. So she was talking about her favorite students, our incarcerated students, at the very first show in St. Louis.
Remember that. Yep, very
We've
powerful.
Had her on the podcast. Yep.
Wonderful. But I knew her just tangentially through other people. And so I went to hear her. But the ironic thing is that while she was speaking, I fell in love with what she was saying. And I wanted those to be my students, too. I'm a math teacher. So I talked to her after the show and I said, we need to go get coffee. And she said, that's perfectly fine. She'd love to do that. And we did. And now I teach at the county jail.
What?
So I have followed in Lauren's footsteps. Yes. And I love it.
Connection came because of that's what she said.
Because of that's what she said. Yes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So inspired
by what she talked about.
That is just wonderful. One of the things that I talk about all the time is I want the show to be both, it's the old analogy of, you know, I want it to be a mirror and a window. You know, you see yourself reflected back, but then you see other things. And exactly that, like, oh gosh, you know, that's a way I want to serve. And I wouldn't have been led down that path if the two of you hadn't met. That is just amazing.
Yeah, it's great. And it's everything she said it was. It's wonderful to teach there.
Oh, so rewarding.
That is so inspiring. You guys are having an incredible impact, and I can hear the joy and the passion in your voice, you know, making this connection and this opportunity.
Yeah, it was just so fortunate that I was there that night and got to hear what she does.
And then you got to appear on stage just a few months later. That's
That was the other thing when I was watching, you know, that first show. I kept thinking, not only did I think, wow, I want to be like Lauren, but I kept thinking, wow, I want to be up there. I didn't have a story at the time. I just wanted to be up there.
But now you said you have the bug. So have you explored other opportunities to write, to share, to appear on stage?
Not appear yet. But I do have a story coming. It was another journal story, but it's about an accidental pumpkin patch. My yard turned into a pumpkin patch this summer through absolutely no effort of my own. I did not plant pumpkins. And in fact, I had no idea what they were. And they took over my little urban yard, which is teeny tiny. And it just turned into this wonderful, magical situation for the summer. So I'm working on writing that story. So I don't know who would ever want to hear it, but that's the story I'm writing right now.
Fantastic.
I mean, that could be a children's book right there.
Mm-hmm.
I love
that's
it.
That's true. Yeah, there you go.
Oh, Debbie, there are so many opportunities out there for you. You're full of wit and charm, and like we've known you forever, and yet we just met. These are some of my favorite conversations.
Wow. Well, mine too. Thank you.
My husband's from St. Louis, so now every time he grew up not far from Forest Park. So now whenever I'm in Forest Park again, I will be hoping to run into you.
Yes, that would be wonderful. And check out the bench. It's going around the Grand Basin where all the fountains are.
Oh, amazing. Amazing.
Okay, you need to go hunt down that bench and send me a photo.
Yes. But don't be frightened. So like if a 6-foot tall woman comes running at you like, bench together, please don't call the popo.
Oh no, I'll go sit on the bench with you anytime.
And friends, if you're listening from St. Louis, go check out the local parks. They are there for your enjoyment. This feels like a PSA.
I know.
Yes.
But it hit all the things. Like I love the parks. I love that. Like these are just these national jewels, and this is a one example of why.
Yes, exactly. Yep, it was the best place to be during the pandemic.
Debbie, you turned out to be the Nana that everyone dreams of having, you know, with the lap that we can snuggle in and the stories that you share. Just, I feel like maybe somewhere along the way that was your dream, you know, to be that Nana, and it all came true.
Yeah. Yep. A lot of years to go with them. The youngest is just 6 months old, but boy, I'm in for it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, those are some lucky kids. I'm happy for them. We celebrate that.
Quite like myself. Well, thank you.
Well, thank you for making time to chat with us and reflect on, you know, the story you shared on stage. And that's what she said. We're so excited because of your time here today. We can share this story with a greater audience through the podcast. We have such a wonderful partnership with Illinois Public Media. They have been so supportive of us, you know, launching this podcast for 8 seasons now. And so thank you for joining us. Thank you to everyone in the studio.
Thank you so much for the chance to do this. It was fun.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us on the She Said Project podcast.
Over and out.
Thank you for listening to the She Said Project podcast in partnership with Illinois Public Media. All materials contained in the podcast are the exclusive property of the She Said Project and That's What She Said LLC. For more information on our live shows, go to shesaidproject.com. This podcast was made possible with support from Carl and Health Alliance and presented by Sterling Wealth Management, empowering women to live their best lives.
Thank you, Deb.